Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome, 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 everyone. Wow, please go to wiserliving.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation or a consultation, phone consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, and services, the Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products. So do take a look at that at your convenience. Also, check out wiserliving.com. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV, follow us on Wiser Living Radio, like us at facebook.com/Wiser Living for you, ladies and gentlemen out there that tap into Facebook. And you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and also Pinterest. Okay. Wow. This is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to this broadcast today. And evening in some locales. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes and a few seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience as well as mine. High blood pressure or hypertension. You know, high blood pressure is a massive health concern in the United States, where nearly 70 million adults or 1 in 3 people have this condition. And half of the 70 million don't have their hypertension or high blood pressure under control. Remember, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for stroke as well as heart disease. You know, back in 2013, new hypertension guidelines were kind of like unveiled, and a lot of confusion came out of that. The guidelines raised the systolic blood pressure. That's actually raised that blood pressure threshold. That's the top number of the blood pressure reading for drug treatment from 140. To 150 for people 60 years and older. You know, most people are familiar with the idea that hypertension should be treated when your blood pressure is higher than 140 over 90. Now, based on scientific studies, they're saying, or at least suggesting, to start drug therapy for high blood pressure when the reading is 150 over 90 or higher. So for the average person, their blood pressure should be in the 120 over 80 range or lower. If you are in the, you know, your 30s, 40s, the pressure can actually be or should be somewhere around the 130 over 90 and less, preferably, obviously, 120 over 80. So 120 over 80 to 130 over 90 for the 30s to 50s age group. These changes can be a little bit deceiving because there can be different reasons for increased blood pressure, and we'll go into some of those later. But the number of deaths due to hypertension or high blood pressure increased by 62% from the year 2000 to 2013. And this is according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Then there are another 1 out of 3 people who are experiencing pre-hypertension, what they call pre-hypertension, which means the blood pressure is elevated and they're at risk of progressing to full-blown hypertension. Now, if your blood pressure is elevated, it means that the force pushing against the walls of your arteries is too high, which can cause damage to the vessel itself. And that's why high blood pressure increases your risk of heart disease, heart failure, and stroke. You know, high blood pressure can also contribute to kidney failure by weakening and narrowing blood vessels in your kidneys, and can contribute to you having memory problems as well, or even being able to understand conversations. Or if you're at work and you're working on a tough task, that understanding may be kind of fuzzy because of high blood pressure. High blood pressure has been linked to an increased risk of developing and dying from cancer, and is known to trigger or even worsen complications of diabetes, including diabetic eye disease. If you are overweight or obese, which is 30-plus pounds over your target weight, you have a greater risk of developing high blood pressure. Even a slight increase in weight can drive your levels up, especially if you put on, say, you put on pounds around your abdomen. As a matter of fact, having excess weight around your abdomen and hip area can increase your blood pressure by 4 millimeters of mercury per 10 pounds of excess weight. So if you're 20 pounds, that's 8 millimeters of mercury, 30 pounds, 12 millimeters of mercury. You can see how as your weight increases, it can have a dramatic effect on your blood pressure. Now, one of the primary underlying causes of high blood pressure is related to your body producing too much insulin. A lot of us, we know about the insulin, but it also does the same thing. It produces too much leptin in response to a high carbohydrate diet. And that's a diet that's high in sugar and a processed food diet. And basically, when I'm talking about high carbohydrate diets, I'm talking about when you go in the grocery store and you're buying things that are on a shelf in a box or a bag, like breads and cakes and things like that. So high carbohydrate diet, high in sugar, processed diet. You know, a 2010 study showed that consuming a high fructose diet like that diet actually led to an increase in blood pressure. So consuming a high fructose diet led to high blood pressure. And research also showed that drinking a single 24-ounce fructose sweetened beverage leads to greater increases in blood pressure over 24 hours than drinking a sucrose sweetened beverage. So why is it so bad for your blood pressure levels? Well, in order to effectively treat and recover from high blood pressure, it's important to understand its underlying causes. And the underlying cause is often related to your body producing too much insulin and too much leptin in response to a high carbohydrate diet and then a processed food diet, which I've already mentioned. Now, as your insulin and your leptin levels rise, it causes your blood pressure to increase, and eventually you'll become leptin resistant. Here's the problem with that. Insulin stores magnesium, but if your insulin receptors grow resistant to insulin, you can't store the magnesium, so it just passes through and out of your body through urination. So why is that important? Well, because magnesium relaxes muscles. Your blood vessel is like a muscle. If your magnesium levels are too low, your blood vessels won't be able to fully relax, and this constriction raises your blood pressure. Fructose. Fructose also elevates uric acid, which drives up your blood pressure by inhibiting the nitric oxide in your blood vessels. Nitric oxide actually helps your blood vessels maintain elasticity. So nitric oxide suppresses, or the nitric oxide suppression, I should say, leads to increased blood pressure. Now, if you eliminate excess sugar and or fructose from your diet, you can eliminate the insulin problem, the leptin problem, and the uric acid problem all at the same time, which means you should keep your total fructose consumption below 25 grams per day. If you're like the 80% of Americans who are insulin resistant and have high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, or some other chronic disease, you should limit fructose consumption to 15 grams or less per day until your condition normalizes. Now, what about medication? What about the medication for high blood pressure? And there's a lot of medications out there, and some people are on one or two, or some in some instances three. Did you know that according to a survey by the Journal of American Medical Association in July 2003, despite the number of drugs available and the number of prescriptions written, there's no real progress that has been made in controlling high blood pressure among the U.S. adult population. Wow. Another study reported that was reported by the Archives of Internal Medicine in 2003 revealed that 30% of patients with mild to moderate high blood pressure responded well to a placebo, which proved that they were able to control their blood pressure without medication. In 2003, again, a study by the British Medical Association revealed that 97% of people taking drugs for high blood pressure had suffered significant side effects at some point during the treatment. So you only have three choices or three chances out of 100. Three chances out of 100 of being side effect free if you choose to take drugs to control high blood pressure. Now, some of the possible health consequences that can happen in the long term when high blood pressure is left untreated is damage to the heart and damage to the coronary arteries, including heart attack, heart disease, congestive heart failure, aortic dissection, and atherosclerosis. Aortic dissection, by the way, is a serious condition, where there is a tear in the wall of the aorta. And as blood surges through the tear, it causes the inner and the middle layers of the aorta to separate or dissect. So with atherosclerosis, fatty buildups in the arteries cause them to become less flexible and hardened. You know, other consequences of long-term untreated high blood pressure is stroke, kidney damage, vision loss, erectile dysfunction, memory loss, fluid in the lungs, angina pain, and also peripheral artery disease. Now, peripheral artery disease is a condition of the blood vessels that supply the legs and the feet. It leads to narrowing and hardening of the arteries in your legs and feet, and the main symptoms of peripheral artery disease are pain, achiness, fatigue, burning or discomfort in the muscles of your feet, calves, or thighs. Now, these symptoms, they usually appear when you're walking uphill or walking fast or when you even when you walk for longer distances. A lot of people walk long distances, you know, when they lose weight, they take long walks. And these symptoms occur more quickly with less exercise. You know, we keep coming up with this exercise thing, and it's just in a lot of different areas. Exercise is really important, and most people don't have, or at least they say they don't have time to exercise. Now, remember, these are the consequences that can happen over time when high blood pressure is not treated. A lot of times it's not treated because high blood pressure has no symptoms. You know, you're not even aware that it's damaging your arteries and damaging your heart or damaging other organs in your body because of the high blood pressure. You know, peripheral artery disease, you know, when I mentioned that, I mean, most people don't realize that until it gets to alarming states where, you know, a lot of damage has been done already. You know, high blood pressure is a symptomless disease, except in the most extreme cases where the person has a hypertensive crisis, which is where the blood pressure can rise up to like 180 over 110 or more. Now, once again, your risk increases with age, smoking, being overweight or obese, with a high cholesterol, a diabetes, and with physical inactivity. And so that's why when you go to the doctor and you have, say, high cholesterol, they prescribe something. Or you have high blood pressure, you get a prescription for something. Or you have headaches as a result of the high blood pressure, you get a prescription for something. You're prescribed something to try to control and alter it. And there are several different medications that are prescribed for this condition. There are diuretics, kidneys to flush out excess water and salt from the body, beta blockers like metoprolol that help the heart beat more slowly and relax the walls of the arteries. There are the ACE inhibitors, which inhibit the production of the hormone angiotensin II, which normally, under normal circumstances, causes blood vessels to narrow. There are the angiotensin II receptor blockers, which protect blood vessels from the hormone angiotensin II so that the blood vessels can relax and widen. This is what the body normally does. But you get a medication to block that if you have high blood pressure. There are the calcium channel blockers, alpha blockers, vasodilators, and the list goes on and on and on. And most people who are on medication, they don't look at those weird words like that. But I look at those. In terms of prescriptions written, the ACE inhibitors like lisinopril tops the list, followed by amlodipine or Norvasc, I guess the common name would be Norvasc, and calcium channel blockers, and even generic hydrochlorothiazide or ACTZ. So if you're on a blood pressure medication, take a look at it right now, and you probably have one of those. But all the medications are not without their side effects. let me give you a list of the nutrients that are depleted when taking certain blood pressure medications. Coenzyme Q10, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, and sodium, which are salts, vitamin B6, and zinc. So let me take a few moments and try to paint a picture of what the depletion of those nutrients can lead to, can actually lead to. Okay. So you go to your doctor, and they correctly diagnose that you have high blood pressure. In their charts, they'll write hypertension. And they give you the correct medication. And I'd also like to point out that many people with high blood pressure are taking 2 and sometimes 3 blood pressure medications in an attempt to get that blood pressure under control. So you take your daily antihypertensive medication, and it depletes coenzyme Q10. Symptoms of coenzyme Q10 deficiency include congestive heart failure, angina pain, stroke, cardiac arrhythmias, lack of energy, gingivitis, high blood pressure. Wait a minute, high blood pressure? So you're taking a blood pressure medication that one of the side effects is high blood pressure. Generalized weakening of the immune system. You definitely don't want the immune system to be lowered, because if it can't recognize an invader, it can't isolate it, neutralize it, and eliminate it. So the medication that you're taking to control your high blood pressure is giving you high blood pressure because it's depleting coenzyme Q10. Magnesium is depleted when you take high blood pressure medication. And the effects of depletion of magnesium are muscle cramps, weakness, insomnia, you're having a problem sleeping, loss of appetite, gastrointestinal disorders, your stomach and your intestine, kidney stones, nervousness, restlessness, fear, anxiety, confusion, depression, fatigue, and high blood pressure. So taking your high blood pressure medication will deplete magnesium, the side effect is high blood pressure. So you're never getting off this medication so far. It is now known that many heart attacks occur in people with healthy hearts. Magnesium deficiency allows levels of calcium to increase, which can cause muscle spasms of the heart, resulting in a heart attack and frequently death. And to add to this problem, food processing, is a major cause of magnesium depletion. For example, 85% of magnesium is lost when whole wheat is refined to produce white flour. Poor food choices, excess calcium intake, intestinal malabsorption, alcohol abuse, liver and kidney disease, and diabetes can also cause deficiency. What about sodium? Sodium is depleted when you take certain blood pressure medications, and you are told to reduce your salt intake. Now, some effects of not having enough sodium or salt in your body is muscle weakness, poor concentration, memory loss, dehydration, and loss of appetite. Now, please remember that sodium is one of the body's 3 major electrolytes, the other 2 being potassium and chloride. So sodium actually has a major role in the regulation of blood pressure. So it's the table salt you want to stay away from. Sea salt or Himalayan pink salt should be a part of your diet because it doesn't raise your blood pressure. That's right. Sea salt and or Himalayan pink sea salt, I prefer the Himalayan pink sea salt, should be a part of your diet because it doesn't raise. Vitamin B6 is depleted when you are on blood pressure meds. Deficiency of B6 manifests primarily as skin changes, circulatory changes, and nerve changes. And because B6 has so many roles to play in the body's metabolism, there are a wide variety of deficiency symptoms, which include depression, sleep disturbances, nerve inflammation, PMS, decreased alertness, anemia, altered mobility, nausea, and elevated homocysteine. Now, elevated homocysteine is now recognized as one of the most critical independent risk factors to cardiovascular disease. You see, the body needs B6, so you don't have to have an excessively heavy menstrual flow or irregular bleeding or excess estrogen in the body for women. B6 is necessary for the formation of hemoglobin and the growth of your red blood cells. So you have, if you have proper growth of your red blood cells, you're going to have more oxygen going to the body, throughout the body. It's essential for the synthesis of tryptophan and the conversion of tryptophan to B3 or niacin. B6 is involved in the synthesis of serotonin, which is useful in people with depression. B6 helps prevent atherosclerosis by metabolizing or breaking down homocysteine. So these are just a few of the many side effects of taking blood pressure meds. If you don't perform the necessary tasks to keep your body functioning correctly, you'll need medication to control or alter the situation. And in this case, we're talking about high blood pressure. Some ways you can get a handle on this blood pressure challenge, since I gave you all the gloom and doom, how can we get a handle on it? Well, one thing you could do is reduce excessive carbohydrate intake, meaning reduce your drinking of sodas, sweet tea, and other sugary drinks. Stay away from high fructose corn syrup and refined carbohydrates, refined grains. It's okay to have fruit. It's okay to have raw honey. Those are carbohydrates, but they're good carbohydrates. Get your carbohydrates from nutrient-dense whole foods like fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables, whole fruits. Another thing you can do is increase the intake of beneficial minerals or macro minerals like potassium, magnesium, calcium, potassium, magnesium, or salts. While most conventional medical professionals will recommend sodium restriction as the primary method of blood pressure reduction, it appears that focusing on eating foods rich in macro minerals like sodium, chloride, potassium, calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, and sulfur is more beneficial than strictly focusing on avoiding sodium. So eating a high potassium diet is a better strategy than eating a low sodium diet. Eating organic potatoes, plantains, sweet potatoes, greens, leafy greens, pumpkins, mushrooms, bananas, tomatoes, etc. Dairy products are good to get your calcium intake addressed. If you're not into dairy, then eat plenty of bone-in fish, leafy greens, bone broth, and nuts to make sure you're getting adequate calcium. The third thing you can do is eat grass-fed dairy products like ghee, G-H-E-E, ghee butter, and cheese. Beyond being a good source of calcium, you know, full-fat grass-fed dairy actually has another. It's another contribution to the treatment of hypertension. There's another contribution beyond that, vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is protective against osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, and cancer, and high blood pressure. So vitamin K2, along with vitamin D, is crucial to ensure that calcium is deposited in the bone where it belongs and not in your area, your arteries, where it can calcify and lead to high blood pressure and heart disease. A fourth thing you can do, eat fatty fish because of the omega-3 fats. Omega-3 fats have been shown to reduce the risk of high blood pressure and cardiovascular issues, so include more fish in your diet. Include more fish in your diet. The fifth thing you can do, drinking certain teas like hibiscus tea, hawthorn tea, gotu kola tea, these are all helpful in lowering blood pressure and improving circulation. The sixth thing you can do is eat more beets and drink beet juice. It's been shown to lower blood pressure in multiple studies. Fermented beets, which I like, we make fermented beets here, and I eat the beets and drink the juice. So fermented beets. Provide probiotics as well. So, and you can go to wiserliving.com and get that recipe. You also must exercise. You got to exercise. You've got to have restful sleep. You notice I said restful sleep. A lot of people go to sleep, but they don't get rest. You need rest when you sleep. So go to bed with a clear head. Sun exposure for vitamin D production. Manage your stress levels. You know, do some meditation and consume good quality supplements. Remember, supplements means to add to what you're already eating. No, don't take the supplements and say, okay, I'm just going to take these supplements and I can eat any way I want to and it's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. You've got to eat correctly and supplement appropriately. When it comes to exercise, you know, 30 minutes a day, like walking, can help lower your blood pressure. But you can't skirt that issue. You've got to find a way. You've got to carve out some time to exercise, like when you were, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, when you used to just, like, run all over the place and just burn fuel. It really didn't matter what you ate because you burned it in two hours. But now children aren't exercising as much. They're exercising their fingers on the video game. And they're just sitting. And that's why a lot of young kids are overweight. If you go to wiserliving.com and click on Wiser Living TV, there's a video on the benefits of Soleil or salt solution and its benefits to your health. Because, matter of fact, benefits to your health. But before I get to that, let me finish. Drink the teas, eat the beets. Remember to exercise, vitamin D production, and this salt issue. I could spend another 30 minutes just on talking about the benefits of salt. And a lot of times they tell you to stay away from salt. Most people are staying away from salt because you have to remember that salt is essential for life. If you go to Wiser Living TV, there's a video on benefits of Soleil, salt, the salt solution, and its benefits to your health. So please take a look and listen at that video. Some other side benefits of Soleil are weight loss, noticeable hair and nail growth, increased vitality, improved concentration, and reduced menstrual pain for the women. Remember, table salt has practically nothing in common with natural salt. You know, one is health damaging while the other is healing. Natural salt is 84% sodium chloride. Processed salt is 98% sodium chloride. So the salt you want to get is Himalayan crystal salt. And there's a link on the Wiser Living site. I believe it's under Wiser Living Products, and you can click on Amazon and the drop-down menu, and you'll see it there. Now, we've sourced out the best prices and the best places to get it, so check it out. There's also an article on what is Soleil and how to make it, take it, and its many benefits. So you can get that by clicking on wiserliving.com and clicking on the category About, and that'll take you to a drop-down menu. Click on Wellness, and you can get read that article as well. Now, let me give you a few takeaways. I know I've kind of went through this fast as I usually do, but some takeaways. Number one, reduce or eliminate excess sugar fructose from your diet. Limit it to 15 grams or less per day. Two, exercise because it improves blood pressure. Three, get an adequate amount of sleep each night. Four, along with your micronutrients, Dioscorea, beta-cystosterol, and plant matrix vitamins and minerals, make sure you are consuming a good antioxidant. Five, reduce your stress levels and avoid processed foods. Get some omega-3 and vitamin D healthy fats into your diet. Calcium and magnesium supplementation can be useful in lowering blood pressure. Vitamin C and vitamin E. Make sure that vitamin E is the D-alpha or D-beta tocopherol. Never DL because it's synthetic. Vitamin C and vitamin E is effective in lowering blood pressure. Olive leaf extract helps to lower blood pressure. Ultimately, eating the right foods, exercising, reducing stress, getting good quality supplements will go a long, long way towards optimal health. And a 15-minute heart cue is to breathe deeply and visualize calm, peaceful, serene scenery. You can do that at work anytime. Take a deep breath, let it out. So let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.